your life right now is likely a hot mess. It may or may not be, but there's times we know that we live in the middle of commotion. We live in the middle of hustle and bustle, and we can live transparently as kingdom people and say, it's not me. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can live transparent, open, honest lives so that we're constantly pointing back to Jesus. Welcome to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Nilsson, speaker, author, and yes, life coach. We live in a noisy world with a million external influences vying for our attention. This is the space where we can quiet the noise, sort out our thoughts through honest conversation, and discover what it looks like to take aligned, faith-filled action in a world of endless possibilities. Hey, welcome back to the So That series on this Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. Man, this series is really, it's really rocking me, diving into these passages of scripture. And I feel like I'm sweating by the end because it's really making me work for it. But I hope it's as interesting to you as it is to me. A few episodes back, I share the introduction of what this is all about. The So That series, really in a nutshell, is the why behind the what of the Christian faith. So a couple of years ago, I was reading through scripture and really captivated by these two words, this connector phrase, so that, because I realized the author of each book was telling us, the future readers, hey, this is something that is the truth. This is something that you need to believe if you're going to follow Jesus. Why? So that you can experience whatever it is that we are to experience, whatever it is we are to understand, because we know that all wisdom, all knowledge, everything is held together in the preeminence of Jesus Christ, right? Colossians tells us very clearly that the mysteries of God are all held together in Jesus Christ. So we follow him, we study him, we have a relationship with the creator of the universe, and he has given us the Bible. He has given us scripture to dive in, to hear his voice, and to really anchor our faith in such a way that it's not just a to-do list, something we're checking off every day or every week just because. In fact, I think more and more, why would we check this off just because? It's definitely, you know, just countercultural to the way the world is and always has been. So I've got a couple episodes in the tank. One was about salt and light from Matthew, and then John chapter 17, all the reasons that Jesus prayed for unification and against division and falling away. And today I want to dive into 1 Thessalonians. So let's see here. Before I go into the passage that I want to highlight to you all, let's just make a few notes about 1 Thessalonians in general. So Paul actually was only in Thessalonica, as far as I can understand, for about 3 weeks. So Paul, along with Silas and Timothy, depart from Philippi. They travel about 90 miles and they arrive, 4 or 5 days later in Thessalonica. So while they are there, Paul preaches for 3 Sabbaths, so 3 weeks in a row. Some of the Jews become converts, and even more Gentiles become converts, including women from very prominent leading families. We learn that in Acts 17. And then during the week, while Paul is there, he supports himself by working as a tent maker. So he's very clear about that. And he does that, not only providing the new Christians with an example of self-sufficient work. So he's saying, hey, I'm going to share the gospel and I'm going to work for my living, but also to avoid any potential charges that his ministry was selfishly motivated. It's not selfishly motivated. He's working for his money and he's sharing the gospel out of love and just his own duty to ministry and anointing by Jesus. But Paul's missionary success instigates some opposition. So the Jews acted first, and Paul says that they drove them out of the city. They start a city riot, and they accuse Paul and his company of disturbing the peace and violating Caesar's decrees. You can read that in Acts 17 as well. And so ultimately, Paul, Silas, and Timothy leave Thessalonica to protect the believers so that their being there does not cause the believers any harm. They travel west for a couple of days, and they end up going to new places. I think to Corinth is where they end up next. But at any rate, he has such an affection for this church, this new emerging believing church in Thessalonica, that he writes them a letter. It's very, very warm, fatherly letter. And he recalls in this letter to the Thessalonians their true faith, their tireless love, their enduring spirit. And it truly, truly touches his heart. So I want to read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 out of the Voice translation. So if you are unfamiliar with this, it is a New Testament translation that is really fun and engaging to read. I think it engages the heart in a way that many other translations don't. And so that's why I'm choosing this one. And it has some really, really powerful language and truth about kingdom living that I think it definitely speaks to me. And I hope and pray that it speaks to you too. So the 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 starts like this: Paul, Silvanus, or Silas, and Timothy, to the church gathering in Thessalonica, those living in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus the Anointed. So this is the greeting. May grace and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus the Anointed. Starts off like many of Paul's letters do. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2, we always thank God for all of you in our prayers. Your actions on behalf of the true faith, your tireless toil of love, and your unfailing, unwavering, unending hope in our Lord Jesus the Anointed before God our Father have put you consistently at the forefront of our thoughts. How beautiful is that? The reason that Paul and his companions are thinking about this church is because they have this steadfast, unfailing, unwavering, unending hope in Jesus. Verse 4, oh, brothers and sisters loved by God, we know he has chosen you. And here is why. Why do they know this? What you experienced in the good news we brought you was more than words channeling down your ears. It came to you as a life-empowering, spirit-infused message that offers complete hope and assurance. So in verse 5, in this voice translation, he's saying, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that we brought you was more than just lip service. You didn't just sort of go in one ear and out the other. It actually, you embodied it. It came to you and it turned into life-empowering, spirit-infused message. And he could see the transformation. He could see the difference played out right before his very eyes. He goes on to say, we lived transparently before you. And here's the big connector phrase in the voice translation. He says, we lived transparently before you so that you would know what sort of people we truly are. We did it for your sake, and you have modeled your lives after ours just as we are modeling ours after the Lord. Now, this is a fascinating version in the fact that they're saying, we lived transparently before you. So they lived with conviction. They lived with open-heartedness, open-mindedness. They lived a public display of the gospel. There was no hidden deceit. There was no hypocrisy. There was no privacy or secrecy. They came with open hands, open hearts, open lives, so that the people of Thessalonica would know what sort of people they truly were. And then they would understand, oh, this is what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, a believer in Jesus Christ, a follower of the way. So when I read this, what this says to me, and maybe this speaks to you too, is that God is calling us to live transparently before other people. This is a high calling, and one, you know, it's so interesting because in this world of social media, we might very well think, oh, of course I live transparently before other people. I post my pictures online. I share some things. I go live on Facebook or Instagram every once in a while. I share in my stories. And I wonder if social media in some ways is a very counterfeit idea of living transparently. Because you can curate social media, to be whatever you want it to be. And yes, I share some things that are on my heart and mind, but am I the most transparent that I could ever be? I don't know. I mean, in some ways, maybe not, because I'm going to protect myself. But ultimately, I want to live with integrity. And when the Holy Spirit convicts me of something that I'm doing or saying that is not in line with God's voice, not in line with the Spirit and character of God, not bringing about the fruit of the Spirit, my prayer always every day is that God would bring this to mind, and he would bring it to my awareness. Oh man, Megan, you are living out of integrity. You are living out of line with what God is putting in your heart, what God is asking you, what would be an obedient, beautiful following of his. And so I want to live transparently before other people so that it's not compromising the testimony of Jesus. That's what Paul is saying in these verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. In this translation, they live transparently before the Thessalonians, it's a mouthful, so that they would know what sort of people they truly were. He says, we did it for your sake, and you have modeled your living after ours, just as we are modeling our living after the Lord. So Paul wanted to show a life of integrity, a transparent life of integrity. What does it look like to follow Jesus, to follow the way, the truth, and the life, to live a righteous and holy life above reproach? These are high standards. Why did they do that? So that that new emerging church could see, oh, this is what it looks like. We can trust these men. They are of high integrity, wise, and living out of grace and love, so that they also would know how to live. They would learn what kingdom living looks like, and then it would go on and it would multiply. Man, I don't know if this convicts you, but it convicts me. I'm thinking, would other people know the love of God better? Would they have access to a perspective of the love of God because they are watching my life? Wow. Even as I say that very publicly to you right now, I shudder a little bit. I kind of pull back a little bit because I'm like, oh, whoa. I don't want the way I'm living or what I'm saying or doing to compromise the testimony of Jesus in any way. Now, here's the rub. I'm human. So are you. We are going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes on a daily basis. I'm going to say things that are a little bit crispy, that are a little bit crunchy around the edges, things that are going to offend people, things that I didn't mean to say that are going to hurt other people. I'm going to do things that are going to hurt other people. And so what does it look like to live transparently and above reproach? I believe that it's going to be reconciled to brothers and sisters. When I know that I've done something out of alignment that has hurt another person, my duty, my responsibility, the thing that I have control over, is listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to that conviction and saying, okay, I am going to apologize if the Holy Spirit is convicting me to do so. I am going to offer that to the other person, and it is then their responsibility, their choice, if they want to receive it or not. At that point, I don't have any control over whether somebody else receives my apology or, you know, living a life out of integrity. So I'm getting a little tongue-tied here because I'm thinking, man, this gets nuanced and it gets complicated. But Paul is very, very clear that the reason we live transparent lives is so that other people will know what sort of people we are. What sort of people are Christians? What sort of people are Jesus followers? It gets a little bit complicated this day and age, doesn't it? And it has for centuries, as it turns out. So they do this so that the new believers, the people that are watching, can model their lives after our lives. There are people around you that are watching you. If you are a believer of Jesus and you are following him and you are professing to be a follower of Christ, I guarantee, I'm telling you right now, there are people that are watching you. They're either inside of your home, they are your children or your grandchildren, they are your spouse. Maybe some of you are married to someone who is not a believer. This person is watching you. Your spouse is watching you to be wondering and seeing, hey, is what he or she is doing, is this in alignment with who Jesus is? Your life of integrity and transparency is going to show Jesus to other people, model Jesus to other people. Paul goes on to say, you took to heart the word we taught with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, even in the face of trouble. As a result, you have turned into a model of faith yourselves for all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. Verse 8, in fact, not only has the message of the Lord thundered from your gathering into Macedonia and Achaia, but everywhere we go, your faith in God is talked about, so we don't even have to say a thing. How beautiful is that? Paul models the testimony and the way of living, following Jesus, abiding in Christ, so that this young church would understand what it looks like to live a life of integrity, following Jesus Christ. And then the testimony has a ripple effect because now Paul is not there anymore. He's traveling to other places. And the testimony, the vision, the witness of Jesus is thundering throughout the territory. And Paul doesn't even have to say a thing because the church is living in her calling. The church is living as Christ would want her to live. And everyone is talking about it. Verse 9, you see, they go on and on telling us the story of how you welcomed us when we were introduced to you, how you turned to God and realigned your life to serve the one true living God, leaving your idols to crumble in the dust. What is Paul saying? Because of how the people, the church of Thessalonica, welcomed them, welcomed the newcomer, welcomed the stranger, welcomed the outsider, because of they were people of welcome, then the outsiders, the people looking in, could see, oh, this is how the church welcomes the outsider, welcomes the newcomer, welcomes the minister of the gospel. And they brought them into their homes, brought them into the church, and they turned to God. They realigned their lives to serve the one true living God, leaving their idols to crumble in the dust. Immediately, there was a moment of conviction that they knew that they were putting their trust in ungodly things, into idols that do not glorify God. They realigned their lives. And verse 10 says, and how you now await the return from heaven of his Son, whom he raised from the dead, namely Jesus, our rescuer from the wrath to come. So they are waiting for the second coming. We are still waiting for the second coming of Jesus. What do I experience when I read these verses? What might you be experiencing when you're listening to these verses read by me, or open up your own Bible and read your own translation and see what the Holy Spirit speaks to you? But what I'm understanding, and there's a footnote in the voice that I think is absolutely beautiful. It says, it's only by the leading of the Spirit that these first generation church planters find themselves in this most disagreeable city. Why would Paul and his companions, Silas and Timothy, why would they go to a city they could only stay 3 weeks in because the people drove them out? Why would they go there? Only by the Spirit's leading. What is the Spirit leading you to that seems countercultural, counterintuitive? It's like, man, why would I go there? You go there because the Spirit is leading you there. Likewise, it is neither by chance nor by any human power that these people are drawn out of their comfy old habits into radical new ways of living. It's not by chance, certainly not by human desire. Who wants to be called out of their comfortable old habits? Not me. The commentary says, a miracle really takes shape when by trading in their old ways of living, believers take to heart the message of Jesus and their unshakable faith shakes up conversations everywhere. This is kingdom living. This is kingdom living. We take our old ways of living and we say, God, I have lived this way. This is what is comfortable to my flesh. This is what I want to hold on to. I would love to kind of control and stay in this environment. And Jesus is always, in the power of the Holy Spirit, is always inviting us to new ways of living. The old has gone, the new has come. What right now, as you consider your life and the way you're living it, if you're honest in your heart of hearts, if you ask the Holy Spirit for revelation and conviction, is there anything in the way you are living that is not glorifying to God, that is not transparent, that if you knew other people were watching, is not a model of kingdom living? Again, this is not to shame you or cause guilt or in any way, shape, or form, only to say that God is interested in your life. He wants you. He's inviting you to give him those false idols. Say, Lord, take it from me. May it crumble in the dust. May I realign my life to live as the way you are calling me to live. Why? So that other people can see this transparent, righteous living. Again, not judgmental, not intolerant. This is the problem, is when I say righteous living, immediately I know that many of you are hearing this and going, yep, righteous living, those Christians, this is the problem. It's hypocritical. It's judgmental. It's intolerant. No, transparent living is living the way that Jesus calls us to live, living in the character of God, which is righteous and holy, yes, and above reproach, but also humble, servant-hearted living, reconciling yourself to your brother and sister when things go awry, when things are broken. I will end with this because I absolutely love this definition of kingdom living and kingdom work in the Voice Translation. They say, kingdom work begins at the surrender of life. If you are kingdom people and you want to know, okay, what does it look like for me to be aligned with God's voice, aligned in kingdom work? It begins when you surrender your life and say, my life is no longer mine. You give yourself away and you expect nothing in return. Real change is then ushered in by the loving touch of the Spirit, moving out from people living transparently faithful lives, even in the middle of commotion. Many of you who have been around this podcast for a while or have been in my world, you know this idea of the beautiful exchange. The beautiful exchange was a phrase that God gave me as I was writing my first book after we adopted our youngest two kids from Ethiopia. And I went to counseling and really radically shifted my identity and my alignment with Christ. And I knew that I had idols. I knew motherhood was an idol. I knew my marriage was an idol. I knew a sense of control was an idol. These are all things that I laid at the foot of the cross. This is a lot of years of hard work, by the way, so don't think this happened overnight. But these idols became very, very, very visible to me. And I was understanding that they had a wrong place and a wrong alignment. They were out of order with how God was calling me into kingdom living. And so real change is ushered in. So when I surrendered my life and said, I give you my marriage, I give you my motherhood, I give you everything, I expect nothing in return, God says, okay, you've released this to me. Now I'm going to, in a beautiful exchange, I'm going to give you my Spirit. And that's what this passage is saying, that real change, real exchange of the Spirit and of kingdom and of holy living is coming in by the loving touch of the Holy Spirit, moving out from people living transparently faithful lives, even in the middle of commotion. Your life right now is likely a hot mess. It may or may not be, but there's times we know that we live in the middle of commotion. We live in the middle of hustle and bustle, and we can live transparently as kingdom people and say, it's not me. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can live transparent, open, honest lives so that we're constantly pointing back to Jesus, back to God the Father, and saying, this is not by my flesh or my might. This is by the Spirit. So I pray for you as we wrap up here today that you are called into a transparent life. What does that look like for you? What does it look like to live transparently, honestly, openly, lovingly, vulnerably in your home, in your place of work? Perhaps the Spirit is asking you to give a bit more, to open up your heart and your mind a bit more to the people around you. Why? So that the people around you can see the love and the power of Jesus Christ, and they would model their lives after yours, and the ripple effect in the kingdom would go on and on and on and multiply in ways that we can't even ask or imagine or fathom at this point, because we can't see them with our natural eyes, but we know it's happening in the Spirit. All right, I love you guys, and I can't wait to dive into another passage of So That next time. If this speaks to you, please, please, please share this with a friend. Pass it along. Let's keep the kingdom ripple effect going so that other people can come to a saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, because all wisdom, all mystery of God is hidden in Him. That's the point. That's what we believe and why we're doing any of this. All right. Love you guys. See you next time. Thank you so much for listening. If this episode challenged or inspired you, I would be honored if you would rate it and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts so others can hang out with us too. If you'd like to connect at a deeper level, you can find me on Instagram at Megan_Nilsson, or head to my website, meganbnilsson.com, and schedule a free curiosity and connection call. Let's keep the conversation going. The age-old question is on the table. Does God speak to His people? And if He does speak to His people, what does His voice sound like, and how in the world do you know if it's His voice or your voice that you are hearing? Listen, you are not alone if you have ever thought this or struggled with this. And I am here to give you an opportunity to dive into this topic for yourself, to hone your skill of hearing God's voice and really having meaningful encounters with Him. Many of you are familiar with the Untangled Faith book and journal that recently came out, and I am here to tell you that I have now published the Untangled Faith book study guide. So if you are looking for a meaningful book study, consider going to untangledfaithstudy.com to learn all about this 10-week experience. Imagine what it would feel like to have a meaningful encounter with God, to hear His voice, to gain His perspective of wisdom for your life. If you feel overwhelmed by all of the noise in the world, the opinions coming at you from every side, then this 10-week experience is for you. If you invite your friends to do this, this is what you will experience. You will explore how to untangle the thoughts that are keeping you stuck, anxious, confused. You will discover what God's voice actually sounds like, know how to hear Him. You will learn the transformational art of honestly communicating with God, to laying it all on the table so that you can receive kingdom, wisdom, truth, and love. He wants to send this your way, and you will be deeply equipped to converse with Him, to receive from Him through the beautiful spiritual discipline of beautiful exchange journaling. So head to untangledfaithstudy.com to learn all about this 10-week experience that includes reading suggestions and breakdown of chapters and weeks, small group discussion questions so you don't have to come up with all this stuff yourself, and the ability to practice with your friends and process what you are hearing from the Lord. I cannot wait to hear about the testimonies coming my way. So head to untangledfaithstudy.com to find your guide today.